Again, good morning to everybody. Good to be in God's house this morning. If you want to, turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah 9, please. You may find this hard to believe, maybe you don't, that 100% of children that were asked absolutely love Christmas. You find that hard to believe? And now get this, 99% of them really love Christmas, and 1% of them somewhat love Christmas. Now, you know, there's no one said that they didn't love it. Guess what their number one thing was they loved about Christmas? Nope. Wasn't presents. You know, you think kids, it was being off from school. That number of presents were number two. Being with the family was number three. And I forget what four was, but I know number five was the candy. I know they loved the candy. But that just goes to show, you know, and the more that I am around and the more Christmases that we experience, we realize Christmas is for children. You know, and you know, if you really think about it, how they press it and how it is for children. And that got me to thinking, I'm going to read Isaiah 9:6 here in a minute. But I want to ask you a question before I read it. And this is a question that maybe you've thought of, maybe you've never thought of. Why did Jesus come as a child? Why did God send Jesus as a child? And the reason that I ask that, I'm going to get into some stuff here in a little bit. The reason I ask that is, why didn't he just send him as a 32-year-old man, 33-year-old man? Just send him walking into Jerusalem, being the Son of God. But I believe if we look at the Scripture, it will give us answers to why he did what he did. All right, if you would, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you're able this morning, let's please stand and read God's Word together this morning. And it tells us this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Lot there, but praise God that it's there. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would go out amongst the people here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would just open up the hearts, open up the minds, Lord. Father, anoint the sermon this morning, Lord. And Father, we will praise you for every bit of it. And Lord, we want to thank you for your mercy and grace that you bestowed upon us this morning. Go with us, Lord, through the rest of this day, and we'll praise you for that. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Christmas is pretty much told in about four chapters of the Bible. A couple in Matthew, a couple in Luke. It's pretty much covered in all those four chapters. But if you get into those chapters, if you get into the verses in them, you will notice it talks about children. It talks about a child more than it does almost anything else. I'm going to read a few of them for you in Matthew 1:18. And I want you to just read. You can go read along with me. You can look it up later. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with what? Child of the Holy Ghost." In Matthew 1:23, it tells us this. "Behold, a virgin shall be with what? Child. And it said, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Matthew 2:9 tells us this. "And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young what? Child was." Now, this is different. You do understand young child is different from child. We've talked about that in here before. Whenever the wise men got to the manger, he wasn't a baby then. I think we all understand that. He was probably a toddler at the time, but that's just what it was. But you see a lot of depiction sometime of the nativity, and you see the wise men there. The wise men, I do not believe, were not at the birth of Jesus at the time. They come a while later. But we'll just go on from that. And the God of all creation, the story of Christmas, is about a child. That's what it's about. The God of all creation. Now, have you ever thought about sent the Savior of the world as a baby. Sent the Savior. You know, the songwriters got it. And I know we don't play the song here much, but it's not in the books, I don't think. What child is this? And I wrote you that. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? We know what child it is they're talking about in that. It is Christ. The brother said, the one that created all of what we have. The creator is that baby that they're talking about. So why did Jesus come as a little baby? Have you ever asked yourself, and maybe I'm just the only one that thinks about that stuff, but I've asked myself this question. Why did he come as a baby? I believe one of the reasons that he came as a baby was so that the Father could identify with humanity. So he could identify with humanity. Hebrews 2:14 tells us this. Whereas much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood to identify with humanity like we do. And it said that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus came to us to be one of us, and he didn't show up as an adult, is why. He came the way we came. He came through birth. He came through natural birth through us. Although I'll get to it, we know that he came through natural birth. There was nothing natural about his birth, but he came through birth naturally. He came to identify with humanity. That's exactly that him that was larger than the universe showed up as an embryo. Have you ever thought about that? That's what he did. He that spoke the universe into existence with one word, chose to become dependent upon a young woman's love. Yes, he did. In essence, the creator of everything, everything we see out here, became created in the womb of a young woman. Yes, he did. He came not with a flash of light. He came not as an unapproachable king, but he came as a little baby. You know, but one whose first words would have been a cry because he was hungry, because he was cold, and because he wanted to be next to his mother. I'm telling you, he came the way that every one of us came. He came just because he wanted to identify himself with humanity. God coming as a child to be one of us. And he came during a time of upheaval, of turmoil in this world. Can I tell you something? They didn't think very much of children back in that day. And can I say something to you this morning? Sometimes I wonder if they care very much about them today. Amen? I'm going to give you a little time out right here. They talk about it, and I'm not trying to be political. But they talk about needing to repopulate the United States because, you know what, we don't have enough people. Well, they've aborted 60 million people so many years ago. I do believe we would have had enough to supply what we need in this country. God sent his son to identify with humanity, and he came as a child. Yes, he did. Praise God this morning. But you can see the mindset of Matthew 19, 13 through 15 from Jesus. And Jesus didn't think he loved children. He loved them. You can see that. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Christ came to identify himself with the children of that day. And can I have an amen with the children of today? He did. Amen. Praise God. And listen, but it is not an accident that in Matthew 19, 14, hold even more relevance today in the world that we live in. Did you know? I don't know if you knew this or not, and I hope and pray that you're one of this 75%. 75% of everybody that became a Christian before they were 18 years of age. How many in here did? Look around this church. 75%. It says 15% become Christians after the age of 30. And praise God for them. That leaves just a little bit of percentage that's sprinkled here and there about it. But I'm here to tell you today, praise God, that you know what? Listen, why does that happen? Because as children, as younger, and most of those, by the way, are between the ages of 4 and 14 that become Christians. It's because their minds have not been polluted with the things of this world, and they accept salvation and accept Jesus without having to have anything else brought to them. And I praise God this morning that one day I was one of that 75% that Jesus Christ come into my heart and He saved me one day. And I hope and pray that you know what? Never, ever stop a young kid, no matter how old they are, from coming to this altar and wanting to pray with Jesus Christ. Never stop them. Never do that. I know sometimes we as adults up back and with our judgmental attitude, we think, well, they went to that altar. But you listen, I'm telling you, if Christ is drawing them, if I be lifted up, He said, I will draw all men unto me. Praise His name today. The message of the gospel is understood and accepted by children. Yes, it is. In Matthew 18, 2 and 5, and Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, does what? You receiveth me. Never, ever, ever stop a child from getting going to the altar. Don't ever do that. Children always have played a special part in Christ's earthly ministry. Jesus came His first Christmas on this earth. He came to identify with humanity. And that's what He did on that day. I also believe He came to show His humility as well. Amen? Philippians 2:8 tells us this. And being found in the fashion as a man, it said that Christ humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. The most powerful one in the universe humbled Himself, became helpless as a child, and allowed Himself to be crucified for all mankind. If you've ever held a newborn baby in your hands, and most of us, I know most of us in here have, you know how they depend upon that mother, how they depend upon that one that is holding them. Can I tell you something, Christians? We need to depend on the one that's holding us. We need to be the ones also today that need to depend on the one that holds us with His lovingness and with His hand. I'm here this morning to tell you, it is not by us, not by us trying to, it is by us depending upon Him. And listen, if Christ came as a child to show us, we must do the same thing, to live, to receive salvation. Matthew 18, 4, back to that. Whosoever thou shalt humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest of heaven. Total dependence on God if you want to be saved here this morning. Now I'm going to open this up here a little bit for an altar call. But can I tell you something? If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you got to come up here and you got to give it to Him. You got to give it to Him this morning. Praise His name this morning. That is the hardest lesson for so many people to do. Because you know why? We feel that, you know what, we have all the answers. Can I tell you, I found out one day I didn't have all the answers. And I'm just going to be blunt with you. You don't have all the answers this morning either. You don't have them. No matter what you think, no matter what you do, we must come to the spirit of humility and acknowledgement of helplessness to be saved. I was helpless. I was helpless. Children have a beautiful, humble way of believing things. Do they not? You take a young child and you talk to that child and you teach that child. They believe what you're telling them. They follow what you want. The example. They do that. All that. They believe what you're telling them. You know what? We got to do the same thing if we're going to come to Jesus as our Savior. We're going to have to believe. The humility and simplicity of a child is the way we need to come to Christ. We come to Christ when we humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves in faith, believing, and accept Him. And accept Him into our hearts. And accept Christ into our hearts. That's when we become saved. And unless you do that, can I give you fair warning this morning? You will and cannot be saved. You've got to come His way. Christmas and the story of the Christ child should remind us every year when we listen, should remind us of how we have to put our trust and our hope and our praise in a Savior that came into this world the way He did. What kind of child was Jesus? What kind of a child was He? There's not much in the Bible. There's just a few little verses in the Bible that tell us what kind of a child He was. In Matthew 2:19-23 and Luke 2:39, but other than that, but I'm going to get to some of this. But in Isaiah 9:6, the scripture that I read this morning, it tells us what kind of a child it was. For unto us a child is born, and guess what it says? Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now let's look at how it describes this child. First off, it says that He was wonderful. Do you know what that means in the original text? It means in the original text that it was wonder. He was a child that was full of wonder. It means that if incomprehensible is what it means. When you're talking about Jesus, it's incomprehensible to try to explain Him. It means that, you know, every year, even year after year, as I try to stand up here and preach the gospel and preach about Christmas, I'm telling you, Greg, I cannot in my mind even try to comprehend to tell you about how wonderful our Lord and Savior is. I can't do it. You know, even Paul said this in 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, and received up into glory. That's a mouthful, right? But can I tell you something? That explains it in a nutshell, but praise God. Sometimes it's so hard to grasp and to comprehend. He was wonderful in His birth because no other human being was born the way that Jesus was born. In Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't, you know, maybe you've never thought of it this way, but I did. Whenever Jesus was on the cross, do you know all that Mary would have had to done was to say, you know what, He's not in His right mind. Me and Joseph was His dad, and you know what, He wouldn't have been crucified. Do you know that? But you know why she didn't do that? Because she knew the truth. She knew He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. She knew that. And praise God, no other birth was like that. There's no other one like Him. Because you know what? He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and God. Listen, angels filled the sky telling of His birth. In Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. A beautiful star led the wise man to the house where Jesus was at, saying, where is He born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. He was wonderful in His birth. There was wonder and amazement. Every time the story of His birth is told, can I tell you something? No matter where it's told across the world, it's told with wonder and awe, is it not? Because you know why? People look at it and say that Christmas is Jesus' wonderful human birth so that I could have a spiritual birth. Amen? Listen, Christmas is Jesus and occupying a stable so that we could have a mansion one day. Amen? Christmas is Jesus having an earthly mother so that we can have a heavenly father one day. And Christmas is Jesus becoming a slave, so praise God, we could be set free one day. That's Christmas. Christmas is Jesus becoming poor, so we could become rich. Isn't that awesome? That's what Christmas is about. It means to guide. It says that he was a counselor. That means to guide and to direct and to advise. There's a special story in the New Testament that talks about that over in Luke 2nd chapter. what it was, and you all remember the story, is when 3 days' journey, Mary and Joseph had went on a journey, they couldn't find their kid. They couldn't find Jesus. So they go back, and they're looking for him, and they can't find him where the kids are usually at. So where do they find him? They find him in the temple. And he's in there, and he's asking questions and answering things. And it says, and it goes on to say that supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And it said they found him not, but turned back. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished, listen to this, at his understanding and answering. When Mary and Joseph went back, brothers and sisters, they found him about his father's business. Amen? That's what kind of counselor he is. He's the great counselor. Isaiah goes on to say, he's the mighty God. Listen, at Christmas we often portray Jesus as this little baby in a manger. But do we realize that was God incarnate laying in that manger? I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? I know I think Ron sings it, but you know at the end of it what it says, and doesn't it just give you cold chills? Mary, did you know that when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something to think about? He's the mighty God. He came down in a manger, God incarnate, come down in a manger for you and me. When Jesus was born, he wanted to deliver. But praise God, you know what? When he came to deliver all right, but not how they thought that he should be delivered. That's why it's interesting that one of the names Isaiah gave him was El Gabar. And that's mighty one. You know what that means? It means a strong one. The God of strength, the mighty God who was a child born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas day. That's who he was. Listen. Christmas is nothing more than a pageant. If you do not understand this, that this was God come down and incarnate. Nothing more. It was up to Mom yesterday, as Tink said, but Mom give me their old nativity scene. I mean, it's pretty old. So I got it out, and we were looking at it, and it's old and faded, and it's just an old plastic one. You know, it's probably from back in the 80s, I'm guessing. I don't know. But anyway, I got it down at the house. But you know what? And it had Jesus laying in a manger, and it had Mary and Joseph. And it got me to thinking about this stuff, about the baby. Listen, I know it's just plastic, but that's God incarnate laying there. That's God incarnate in that manger. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a mighty God we serve that would do that for us. Yes, God could have sent him in so many different ways, but praise God this morning the way that he sent him. What makes Christmas even more special? The only way the Christmas story could be true is only because the one born in that manger was the mighty God himself. That's what made it. That's why we rejoice. That's why we can rejoice this time of year and praise God. That's why we can do it. The child was God always, always remembered. Then the Bible says he was the everlasting Father. John 8:58 tells us this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was. You know what he's telling them? He said, before Abraham was even thought of, I was there. That's what he was saying. I mean, Jesus was the Father of all eternity. That means if you trust Jesus, can I tell you something? If you, as this morning, trust Jesus as your Savior, you know what? Eternity comes part of the package. It comes part of the package. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking forward to one of these days, brothers and sisters, that whenever I close my eyes in death, I'm going to open my eyes in eternity. How about you this morning? Listen, I pray God, these bodies are failing all the time. But you know what? One day I'm going to put on a glorified body. And praise God, it's because Jesus lived. He's all of eternity. He is the Father of eternity. There was never a time when Jesus was not, and there'll never be a time when he isn't. But praise God, he is the eternal Son of the living God. But for a short period of time, this eternal Jesus came down on this earth to live amongst men. Guess what? He felt like we felt. He was hungry like we were hungry. The Bible says he got tired like we do, and he was tempted like we get tempted. For we have not a high priest which should not be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but within all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is the everlasting Father. And given that he was the child, another word I had for him, he was the Prince of Peace. Man, I love this name. Folks, there's so little peace in the world today. Can you agree with me? There's so little peace. As a matter of fact, out of 5,000 years of recorded history, there's only been about 285 years there was never a war or a conflict in this world. Just think about that a little bit. He came, he said, and the angel said, with peace and goodwill to men. Remember what the Bible says? Listen, and you'd be thinking, well, there's still wars going on. That's not the kind of peace he was talking about. He was talking about the kind of peace that you and I can have once we have Jesus Christ living in our hearts. The world around us can be falling apart sometimes. But praise his name this morning, with that world falling apart, we have someone we can trust in this morning. We have one that can give us peace, what the world cannot give us peace. Listen, we in this world we live in today, there's anxiety on every hand. And sometimes we let this anxiety and these things just tear us down sometimes and bring us low. But can I tell you this morning, through Jesus Christ, he came to bring peace to your life. He said, a peace that passeth all understanding. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I've known people that went through some horrible things, especially in this church. But brothers and sisters, they didn't give up. They're still hanging on. They're still serving the Lord this morning. And why? Because you know what? They have a peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to tell you, if you have something and you're depending upon your own knowledge here this morning, upon your own wisdom, you'll not have that peace in your life. You'll not have it. We got to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Put our trust in him. Listen, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, good to the world. What a promise. Peace was born on Christmas Day. It was born on Christmas Day. Not the peace. Listen to John 14:27. The peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Can I have an amen? Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is Jesus, the one that was born on Christmas Day. That is that child. That child was able to reach up and grab God's hand and reach down and grab Dave Long's hand and make a bridge of reconciliation. And if you're saved here today, he did the same thing with you. And if you're not saved here today, he is willing to reach his hand up to the Father and reach your hand and reconcile you this morning and bring you to God, because that's what we need to do. He's able to do that this morning. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace to all that know him. Listen, we can walk in the craziness of this world. We do it every day. We can walk in that craziness knowing who holds our hand and who holds tomorrow. We can do that. Isaiah 53:5. Belinda, you can come get a song ready if you want to. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Doesn't that say it all? Doesn't that just say it all? He was wounded for my transgressions. I hope you all understand this morning. You should have been nailed to that cross. Everybody in here should have been. Everybody, we should have paid the price for our own sins. And can I tell you something? Everybody in here is a sinner until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. everybody. I don't care. You could be the best person in the world. You could be the greatest person. Everybody could pat you on the back and say you're just an awesome lady. You're just an awesome man. But until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. Amen. You're lost. For our transgressions, it says that again. He said, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The chastisement of our peace. You know, God turned His back on Jesus when He was on the cross. Couldn't stand to look upon sin upon Him. Couldn't do it. But praise God. You know what? He stayed there for you and I. Can I tell you something else this morning? That little baby born in that manger, that little baby that we celebrate this time of year all the time, that was God who did that all for us. I am thankful this morning that I know a God like that. Aren't you? Aren't you glad you know a God like that this morning? Praise His name. Now, I want to offer this to you. I don't know if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, but can I tell you something? He is no respecter of person. He's none. If He's dealing with you this morning, I'm begging you this morning, come to this altar, get on your knees, and give it all to Him. Give it all to Him. Let Him have every bit of it. And I can promise you this, if you do that in faith believing, He will answer your prayer. He'll do that for you.